Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. There's a difference between Old Testament regulations and New Testament commands. The New Testament fulfills the requirements of the Old and introduces a new category of people known as the Church. But through it all, God has not changed. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the mysteries of God. Turn to Hebrews 12 as we learn more about the unchanging God.
Throughout history, for centuries, the Christian church has always divided the Old Testament into three categories. First of all, there is the civil laws. Those civil laws have to do with human relationships. You know, what should you do if a cow that belongs to your neighbor comes onto your pasture and so forth? All kinds of laws. Those don't apply to us today. And for reasons that will become clearer, we're in a new age with new laws. And so there are those civil laws. There are also ceremonial laws. Bring this sacrifice. If you commit this sin, bring that. All that, of course, disappeared, thankfully, with the coming of Jesus Christ, who abolished all of those things and became the fulfillment of all the sacrifices. But there is the moral law. The moral law. And I submit to you today that God has not changed his opinion about the moral law. As a matter of fact, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount actually deepens it. Before, if you committed adultery, that was one thing. And Jesus said even to look at a woman lustfully is to do that. Wow. Now suddenly we're confronted with our own heart and not just our actions. And if you hate your brother, you're basically a murderer. Think of that and think of the implications. And so the moral law is still intact, and virtually all of the commands of the Ten Commandments are repeated in different ways in the New Testament, except for the Sabbath day. That was a special category. But the point is that God has not changed his standard. Well, then why the difference in punishment? Well, God's administration has changed. God's administration. Now, I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture that really, the more I think about it, it's been in the back of my mind now for some time, it almost blows you away, both regarding the law and regarding grace and the relationship between the two. I hope that you love this passage of Scripture as much as I do. It's found in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, all Bibles open now. If you didn't bring yours, there's probably one there in the seat in front of you. If you have your iPad, your cell phone, other ways of accessing God's Word, please do that because I want you to see the text. Seeing the text is very important. The context of the 12th chapter has to do with, where I'm going to begin to read, has to do with Esau. Esau was a profane man who sold his birthright. You remember that story. Have you ever noticed, parents, how you're going to have two children, in this case twins, Jacob and Esau. One goes one direction, the other goes the other. Rebecca and I even marvel at how different our three daughters are. Different in aptitude, different in gifting. And we see that in the case of Jacob and Esau. All right, that's the context. Now we are in verse 18. And I take this almost as we come to Hebrews chapter 12 from here to the end. Basically, the end of the book of Hebrews. To me, it is the summary argument of the whole book. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire, darkness, gloom, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. Even if a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, the sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I tremble with fear. That's the mountain called Sinai. There are two mountains in this passage. That's Sinai. Could I read just the original version of what happened there from the book of Exodus? On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings, a thick cloud on the mountain, a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. The whole mountain trembled. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spake and answered God in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and he called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And God told Moses, tell those people to back up. Stay away. If a beast touches the mountain, don't you dare touch that beast. Shoot it with an arrow or kill it with stones, because God is coming. Wow. Can you imagine some enlightened New Ager standing there and saying, I think I can come to God in my own way. There are multiple paths to God. Oh, yeah. You'd better come in his way. You know, I don't like this God. It's not what you like. It's reality of what is. And there is God. God here comes without atonement, basically without a mediator. And here he is. Stay away. God has come. And he's just as holy as he ever was when he descended in the Shekinah glory on Mount Sinai. I am the Lord. I change not. Should take our breath away if we're thinking about this. But the passage isn't over. Now we come to Mount Zion. Listen to this. I'm in verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 12 with all Bibles open. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. I want to give some context to this. It is as if the writer is saying that when you come to Mount Zion, Zion is a poetic name for Jerusalem. When you come to Mount Zion, it is as if all of heaven is open to you. What a mind-expanding concept of those of us who come to trust Christ as Savior. Now let's listen. You'll notice that you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable number of angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. What? You can't even imagine the contrast between the mountains. Old Testament, stay away, or you'll be incinerated. New Testament, come. Come all the way into heaven. And he lists six various descriptions of what we come to. We come to the heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion, the city of the living God. We come to millions of angels in festal gathering. Do you realize that when we sang those marvelous hymns of worship today, that angels indeed were almost certainly among us, thanking God for our worship and extending their own worship to God? We come to myriads of angels when we come to Christ, who rejoice with us in our worship of the living God. We come to the church, to the assembly, whose names are in heaven. Enrolled, I think my text says, enrolled in heaven. If you're a believer here today and you've had a hard week, can you just stop for a moment and rejoice in the fact that your name is enrolled in heaven? I was talking to somebody the other day who is enrolling in various colleges. So they have their application in this one, this one, this one. Hope that one of them accepts them. Well, it's wonderful to be enrolled. It's another thing to be accepted. We are actually, our names are written in heaven, and we're enrolled in heaven. I love that terminology. Just to think, in heaven, your name is there. I always feel a little sorry for those whose names are Smith, because I wonder, God, are you going to keep them all straight? Luther, I mean, that's pretty easy. There aren't a whole lot of those, but what about the Smiths? One day, Rebecca and I were driving with an old couple, and we were in the back seat of the car, and the woman said, you know, we have cemetery plots. We were driving along the cemetery. She said, do you think that God will remember we're buried there? And they are now buried there, and I assured her, even at that time, God will remember that you're buried there. Your name is enrolled in heaven. We come to the judge of all. The veil of the temple has been torn. Old Testament, stay away. High priest, come with blood. Come into the Holy of Holies once a year. Today, come. The veil was rent from top to bottom. God says, I'm going to do this. And you come now. Come into the holy place, says. Holy place, says, plural, by the blood of Christ. Just come. Yes, my friend, and yet God has not changed. Certainly, as I pointed out in these messages, his administration has changed. Things are different in terms of our relationship, but what made the difference is the fact that Jesus was a sacrifice for our sins. No more offerings as was necessary in the Old Testament. He was the sacrifice for our sins. The veil of the temple has been torn in two, and God now says to everyone, come. The way to God is narrow. It's through Jesus Christ, but let's not complain because it is available to everyone. You may be going through a very difficult time in your life, a time in which you feel unclean or unworthy. That's okay. Come. Come to the one who can redeem you, the one who assures you that your name can be enrolled in heaven. Let me ask you a question. How would you like to be on a cruise that begins in Switzerland, goes all the way up to Amsterdam on the Rhine River? We stop at different places in France and in Germany. Well, God willing, I'm going to be the teacher on that cruise. And you can find more information about that at moodymedia.org. You must understand that whenever I have a privilege like that, I like it to be an educational experience. Of course, we'll be enjoying Europe. We'll have opportunity to shop, but also opportunity to learn. I can tell you in advance that my desire is that people come back from a tour like this, invigorated, understanding the gospel better, even as we talk about Germany, Martin Luther, and of course Adolf Hitler, and the impact of Germany upon the world. Once again, you go to moodymedia.org. When you are there, click on the tour button, find out all the information you need. And I really do hope that you'll be able to join us. God willing, as we experience his favor, we'll come back from Europe with a new perspective, willing to serve the Lord.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Unchanging God. Another message on the mysteries of God. Next time, more on why God has not changed his mind toward sin, even though the church is a new creation. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.